Now we're holding on Gimaloma Bay, the last line of the medium size lines, 8 lines from the bottom. We were learning about the importance of learning Torah, and a person learns Torah by night, and Hashem gives him chesed by day, and so forth. So the Gemara continues, Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, my dichtiv, what does it mean in the Pasuk? Vatase odim kidgei hayom, the Novi Chavakuk says to Hashem, you make the people like the fish of the sea, kiremes lo moshel boy, like little crawling creatures that nobody rules over them. So why is he comparing people to fish? In context, he's talking about that he's complaining that Hashem seems to not directly intervene in the world. You have the Rishoyim sometimes are powerful, and the larger ones swallow up the smaller ones, etc. So Loma Nimshul, B'nei Adam Kidgei Hayom, why are people being compared to fish of the sea? Loy Malacha tells you, Madogim Shabayam, Kivincha only Abosham, Yad Mesim, when fish come up onto dry land, they right away die, Aspene Odom, the same way people, Kivincha Potion, Medibre Torah, Omina Mitzvahs, when people abandon Torah and Mitzvahs, Miyad Mesim, then they die. Not necessarily Begashmius, but Beruchnius at least. This is similar to the famous Moshal of Rabbi Akiva, the Papus Ben Yehuda. That's the way Papus tells him it's dangerous, how can you be teaching Torah in public? And Rabbi Akiva gives him essentially the same Moshal. So a person can't leave his place of chayos. Marsha goes on and then to douse in the following psukim as well that refers to the fish being caught in nets, whereas Rabbi Akiva says in the mushal over there, even though as much as we may be in danger from the nets, we're in greater danger from abandoning the turtle altogether. Dovracha, another explanation. Madogim shabiyam kibin shakodra aleim chama miyad mesim. Another explanation is just like the fish. As soon as the sun shines down, beats down on them, then they die. They need to stay moist in order to live. Kach bnei adam kibin shakodra aleim chama miyad mesim. In the same way with people, when the sun beats down intensely on them, then it causes them to die. Now, what do we mean by that? That in turn can be understood in terms of Olam Hazeh, Poshet, in terms of the danger of heat stroke, or you can understand it as referring to Olam Haba, as the Gemara will explain in a minute. You could understand it in this world like the way Rav Chanina says. Everything is in Hashem's hands of what's going to happen to a person, except for Sinim Pachim. Now Rashi explains tsinim means cold, melosh tsina, and pachim would be sickness that comes because of heat. So it means that everything is a person in Hashem's hands of what's going to happen to a person except for cold and heat, where the person is responsible to guard himself, wear the proper clothing, and do the other things that are necessary in order to be protected from the effects of the weather. Shenema, as the pasuk says, tsinim pachim mederach ikesh. Cold and heat are in the way of the stubborn, of the twisted, crooked person. A person who guards his soul will stay away from them. So, in other words, a person has a responsibility. It's hot, then you make sure that you have the appropriate clothing, and a fan or an air conditioner or whatever. If it's too cold, make sure that you have the appropriate clothing. So it can mean in the literal sense, in other words, that a people in that sense are like fish, where they need a certain climate. I've mentioned in this connection before a story involving the famous Goyen Rabbi Chezkel Abramsky. He was sentenced by the Russians for 3 to 3 years in Siberia, and they weren't providing the prisoners there with proper clothing, and this is a Siberian winter we're talking about. So he turned to Hashem and said, he quoted this Gemara and said, "Bamed Varam Amurim," when a person is able to provide his own clothing, then if he doesn't and he catches a cold because of the cold weather, then that's his fault. But here I don't have that opportunity, so therefore it should be like everything else, and Hashem, it's in your hands, and you need to protect me. And sure enough, during all that time, he remained perfectly healthy, never even caught a cold, even though many people around him passed away. Anyway, so that's one possibility of the heat we mean over here, is that it means partial to probably when it's hot, when the sun is beating down, take measures to protect yourself. The other possibility is you can understand the comparison of people to fish to refer to Olam Haba, the Amr of Kedir of Shimon Lakish, as your Shlakish says, the Amr of Shimon Lakish, ain't Gehenim La'asid Lazai. In the future, there won't be a Gehenim, there won't have to be a Gehenim of punishment for Rishoyim, in other words, like a specific place for it, so to speak. We're not talking about after every Rasha dies. Of course, there's a Gehenim for him. We mean, in other words, after Tchias HaMesim. Ela, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Moitzi Chama Minautika, Hashem will take the sun out of its shield, or whatever. Rishoyim Nidonin Ba, the Rishoyim will be judged and punished with it. The Tzadikim Misrapin Ba, and the Tzadikim will be healed with it. Rishoyim Nidonin Ba, as the Pasuk says, Kihine Hayoim Ba Boyer Katanu, the Pasuk says, behold, the day will be coming burning hot like an oven. And Rashi points out the word Yoim itself can also mean the sun. So we would understand the Pasuk, behold, the sun will come burning like an oven. Vahoyu Chosvedim Vahol Oise Risha Kash, and all of those who did Avedus deliberately and all of those who did wickedness will be like straw. Vilihat Oisam Hayoim Haba, and that coming day or that coming sun will burn them up. Oman Hashem Tzvakos, says Hashem, Asher La Yazav Lahem Shodesh Va'onav, that it won't leave for them a root or branch. So what does that mean? The Gemara interjects, Shodesh, Lois Shodesh, V'olam HaZeh, V'olam Onaf, V'olam HaBo. There won't be a root for them of anything left of them in this world. Now we're talking about, this is already at the time of Tchias HaMesim, what is there to be left of them in this world? Marsha says means they won't leave any descendants. V'olam Onaf, V'olam HaBo, and they won't have any branches in V'olam HaBo, namely that they won't have a place in it. Tzadik, so that's the Rishoyim, are going to be harmed by it. Tzadikim, Mislapin, brother Tzadikim, are going to be healed by it. Dichtiv, as the next passage continues, there will shine for you, you who fear my name, Shemesh Tzedakah, a son of healing, and there will be healing, a son of Tzedakah, and healing in its wings. Not only will the tzaddikim not be harmed by it, but they'll enjoy it. The pasuk continues, you'll go out and you'll grow and you'll fatten yourselves up like calves that are being fattened up, like calves that are able to run around freely and eat as much as they want. Or maybe that they're being fed just to fatten them up, whatever. The point is, in other words, that you're going to have tremendous plenty, begashmius, beruchnius. This motzi chama minautecha, so we had recently in Shara Yechavra Amuna and in Daily Tanya about that the name Havaya is the Shemesh and Elikim is the Mogain, so we have Elikosis concealed from our view, and therefore it looks like the world just runs in a natural way. So the Osad Lovay Hashem will take out the sun from that sheath, then the name the Shem Havaya will be. Hashem Havayah will be shining down on us exclusively, and therefore, so now the Rishoyim then are going to be burnt up by that because they can't tolerate that kind of thing. The whole point is their Messias requires that there be a Shem Elikim and a Nautik over there, and the Tzaddikim meanwhile are going to enjoy it because they're able to connect directly with Hashem on a much higher level. There's actually a medrash also that mentions in that connection that Hashem will make a sukkah to protect them from the sun, so that fits nicely with the previous piece of Gemara about that Hashem is going to give the mitzvah of sukkah to the goyim, and then they're not going to be able to tolerate it. Marsha points out over here, you know, the same way as nowadays, the sun, or an oven for that matter, has different effects on different things in it. You're not going to say it's different suns. You put a piece of wax out in the sun, it melts. You put something else out in the sun, it gets hardened. Doesn't mean it's not different suns, it just depends on the object, on the properties of the thing. The same way, in other words, there's all one judgment of Hashem, everything that's meant for the good of a person, but the makabel is going to be, different, the tzaddik versus the rasha. Dabaracher, the Gemara says, another explanation, Ma dogim shvayam, another reason why the Pasuk compares people to fish of the sea, Ma dogim shvayam kol agodam chaveru beileyas chaveru, just like in the sea, the larger fish swallow up the smaller fish. After they Adam, the same way with people. If it weren't for fear of the government, then people who are, then anybody who's greater and more important and more powerful than somebody else would swallow up the other. Behind as we have the Mishnah of Chanina Sagana Koyinim, having mispalled the Shloima Shal Malchus, always daven for the welfare of the government. If it weren't for the fear of it, then one person would swallow one another up alive, and it's the fear of the government that keeps them in check. So therefore, that's another point that chavakuch means by comparison, by comparing people to fish. That's the pasuk says, "Kiremes loy moshel boy," like the creatures that nobody rules over them. Nobody would rule over each other, and there would be complete anarchy. All right, the Gemara continues. Now that we're talking about how Hashem runs the world, so now let's talk about more about how Hashem runs the world, and especially as we're going to go on to things, we're going to talk about the contrast in that regard between how Hashem handles the Jewish people versus the rest of the nations. So Rav Chinina bar Papa Rami. Rav Chinina bar Papa pointed out a contradiction in between Pesukim. Siv, you have a posik in Eiv, says, Shakai loy mitzanuhu sagi choyach. We have not found Shakai, which is one of the names of Hashem, to be tremendously powerful. Now, what does that mean? Of course, Hashem has all the power, so that itself is a question, but fine, you can say sagi koyach means overpowering power. Hashem does not act in a way towards people, like we had yesterday, Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Baba Tshunya in Vriyosev. Hashem does not come with unfair demands and say, well, this is how it is, take it or leave it, tough luck. But Hashem always gives a person a chance. So fine, we're saying the same thing. Hashem is not overpowering, like to say, I'm the boss and therefore whatever I do is going to go and you don't have a choice. But on the other hand, the pasuk says, until him, our master is great and of tremendous power. And you have another pasuk, your right hand, Hashem, is mighty in power. Meaning, in other words, it sounds like, so from the second and third pasuk, it sounds like Hashem uses the maximum power And according to the first pasuk, it sounds like Hashem does not use all his power. Marsha points out that, first of all, in Ein Yaakov, it doesn't bring the pasuk God alone and Rav Koyach, but according to our Gersa, that we have the one in Tillim, fine, but Rav Koyach is more clearly opposed on the face of it to Sagi Koyach as opposed to Nedori Bar Koyach, therefore, that's why the Gemara brought it in that order. Anyway, so what does it mean? So the answer is, like Kasha, kan b'shas adin, kan b'shas milchama. One is talking about when Hashem is judging people, so then Hashem does not exercise his full power, then Hashem uses midas harachmin. Tan b'shas milchama, as opposed to when Hashem is waging war and actually fighting against them and defeating them, then Hashem uses the maximum power against them and destroys them. Because Hashem won't judge with his full din, because then everybody knows, like we learned yesterday, Hashem, so to speak, gets up off the kisei din and goes on kisei rachamim, because otherwise nobody would be able to manage. Almost nobody would come out just in Hashem's eyes. So Rashi brings on the pasuk that for example, a melech basav adam can only do one thing at a time, as opposed to Hashem, so to speak, multitasks, and with the same right hand that he's punishing the goyim, with the same one he helps us and then gives to everybody. So here also we're saying that when Hashem is waging war, then he uses his full power against them and then destroys them. So the Gemara goes on. Rav Chama Rav Chanina Rami. Rav Chama Rav Chanina pointed out another seeming contradiction between Pesukim. Ksiv Chema Einli. One pasuk says, I have no anger, meaning that Hashem does not act towards people in a way of anger. Ochtiv Noikim Hashem Aval Chema. But you have a pasuk that in Nochum describing the destruction of Nineveh, where it says Hashem is revengeful and full of and the master of Chema, the master of anger. So does Hashem show anger or not? And the answer is like Kasha, can be Yisrael, can be over Kachavim. One's talking about the Jews, so Hashem is saying, regarding the Jewish people, Chema Einli, I don't use my anger against them. As opposed to the one in Nochum, is talking about the Goyim and Nineveh being destroyed, so then that one Hashem uses his full anger. Rav Chinen about Papa Amar, Rav Chinen about Papa has a different answer. Both Pesukim are talking about the Jewish people. Chema, Ein Li, why does Hashem say, I don't have anger in the Pesuk in Yeshaya? So the whole pasuk goes like this in Yeshaya. Chema Einli, Hashem says, I have no anger. Mi yitneni shomer shayas b'malchama. If only somebody would give me the opportunity to be like harmful thorns, shomer and shayas are various kinds of weeds and thorns that grow in uncultivated areas. B'malchama, in war, I would trample them and set the whole thing on fire all at once. So Hashem is saying, therefore, chema enli shekvar nishbaiti, because I already swore that I'm not going to use my full anger against the Jewish people. Mi itneni, but when Hashem says, if only someone would give me, it means shaloi nishbaiti, if only somebody would give me the opportunity that I hadn't swore, a shomer shayas v'gemer, then I would chas v'shalom destroy them in war. So therefore, in other words, according to that, I do have chema, Hashem is saying. However, I hold it back because of my shvua, but in a way I wish I didn't have to. Now, what does that mean? Would we want Hashem to destroy us, chas v'shalom? Well, one thing is that if it came to that point, then I would have no choice at that point but just to bring the geula on mitzvah shlema, rather than, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, like this, Hashem many times punishes the Jewish people bit by bit throughout the time of Golos, but Hashem is saying, so to speak, If I didn't have a shavua to destroy them completely, I would get to that point, and then I would say, okay, well then in that case, there's no choice but to bring the Gula Mitzvah Shlema. So that's another way of explaining it. We learned in Bava Basra, we had in one of the stories of Rav Baba Chana, we had where he's by Har Sinai, and he hears a voice saying, Oi, that I swore, now that I swore, who's going to be matter for me? And Rav Baba Chana doesn't say anything, and later on, the Chacham criticized him, don't you realize that was the Shavua about that the Jewish people are in Golos? You could have been matter that Shavua, and we would have had the Gola, and Rabba says, I thought that Hashem was talking about the Shavua, not to destroy the world with a marble. So in the same similar to over here. Fine. The Gemara says, now, we said before that Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Bo B'Trunya Im B'Riyosav, that Hashem does not come with unfair demands against his creatures, and Hashem doesn't say basically, well, I decided this way, and tough luck, take it or leave it. That's why we said that Hashem gives the Goyim the one last opportunity to do a mitzvah, the mitzvah of Sukkah, and they mess that up also. So, Vahainu de Omer Rabbi Alexandri. So that fits with what Rabbi Alexandri says. So that's Rashi explains that's referring back to that. Tosfos says this is a long time later. The Gemara has gone into a lot of topics in between. So rather, Tosfos says, Rabbi Natan says, no, it's referring to what we just said. We just said that Hashem does not use his full anger against the Jewish people, so we don't get destroyed, chas v'shalom, but Hashem does use it against the Goyim. So now we're going to have a drasha from Rabbi Alexandri that says, in the same vein, that Hashem is ready to destroy any Goyish nation that he finds has no zchus, as opposed to the Jewish people, Hashem will never do that. Anyway, so v'hainu d'omer Rabbi Alexandri, so Rabbi Alexandri says as follows, my dichtiv, the Pasuk says, v'hoya b'yoymahu, it will be on that day, this is talking about during Melchamas Gog u'Magog, Avakesh Lahashmin, it's called Agoyim, I will seek to destroy all the nations. So Avakesh Mimi, who is Hashem supposed to seek from? Does Hashem need permission from somebody or something? So what does it mean? So Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu means Hashem says, Avakesh B'Nigni Shalahem. I'm going to look at their Nigni. Rashi says, Nigni means Sefer Zikaron Maaseyem, the books, the records in which their Maisim are listed. I'm going to look in those records. Im Yesh Lahem Zchus, if they have a schus efdeim, then I will redeem them, and then they'll be safe after Melchamas Gog u'Magog. The imlav, and if not ashmidim, then I'm going to destroy them. So now we see, in other words, so Rashi says, since according to Rashi, this is referring all the way back to the point of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bo B'Trunya. So therefore, Hashem says that. Here's what I'm going to do then. I'm going to check and see if they have any schus, and then when it turns out they have no schus, as in they kick over their sukkahs and leave, now I have reason based on justice to destroy them, and that's what we said before, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Motzi Chama Minautika, and see what they're going to do, and then they do in fact rebel and kick over their sukkahs, and then Hashem says, now I have reason, Avakesh, I've looked for any kind of schus for them, and I can't find, and therefore that's it, they're goners. Okay. V'hainu d'omer Rabba, this also fits with what Rabba says. My dichtiv, Pasuk says in Eov, Ach loy ve'i yishlach yod. However, Hashem does not send forth his hand in anger. Im befidoi, when there's a destruction, lahen shoya, then to them, lahen shua, then to them there is a shua. Now, in context, the pasuk means that shua means so the Gemara is going to explain over here, shua maloshin yeshua, a salvation. Remember, first on the pasuk explained various other possibilities of what shua means. That Hashem, basically, that Hashem doesn't destroy, that Hashem doesn't, Eov is talking about himself, that as much as, he's suffering terribly and everything, and he says, but this is not Hashem's usual way to just stretch forth his hand in anger and completely just crush a person. There's always Hashem, even when a person is destroyed, Hashem still listens to his tefillos. So Shua would be Meloshin Davening and various other possibilities. Anyway, Omalahena Kadosh Baruch Hu, so Rabbi Darshan's Omalahena Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Kshani Donis Yisrael, when I am judging the Jewish people, Einani Doni Oisin Kovi Kachovim, I do not judge them like I judge the Goyim, of whom Dichtiv, whereby the Goyim, the expression in the Pasuk is, Ava, Ava, Ava Asimena. The Pasuk says that destruction, I will make them. Meaning, in other words, that Hashem just destroys them completely. Ella, so Hashem is saying, Ach loy ve'i, e is the same shortish as Ava. Ava, Ava, Ava Asimena means Rashi explains. Actually, it's not a triple thing meaning destruction. Ava, Ava means with the first two are Meloshin Evo, Meloshin Evos, like we have Hervinu in Tachnon. So they acted in a crooked way, Evoi, a crookedness, Ivsa, they have been crooked, Ola Ava Asimena, and thus I will make them a destruction. Rashi brings from Targum Yonasan on that Pasuk in Yechezkel that explains it that way. So now Hashem is saying they did crookedly and wrongly, and therefore Ava Asimena, I'm destroying them completely. So now the Eov is saying, Ach loy ve'i yishlach yod. Hashem does that to the Goyim, that when they do bad, then Hashem wipes them out. Ella, but when it comes to the Jewish people, Hashem does differently. And in Nifram, then they have the second half of the pasuk. In befidoi lahen shoya, where the Gemara is understanding fidoi as a lotion of pecking, like what chickens do. So in befidoi. So Ella, I mean Nifram Ahem, to feed Shaltana Golas. So rather, Hashem says, I pay them back, the Jewish people, gradually, like the pecking of a chicken. So in other words, the Rashi just said, a chicken pecks a little bit at a time. So the same way Hashem punishes the Jewish people a little bit at a time to clean up their Avedis, and that way, And that way the Jewish people don't get completely destroyed, as opposed to the Goyim. Ava, Ava. They acted crookedly. That's it. Ava. Then Hashem wipes them out. And that's that. So that's what the pasuk means. That instead Hashem does with the Jewish people gradually. Marashah points out, actually, that pasuk, Ava, 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 Asimena, is actually talking about the Jewish, in context, it's talking about the Jewish people. So rather what it means is, no, we can say, not like Rashi, that Ava mean that the two first two Avas mean Meloshin Ova and Meloshin crookedness, and the third one means destruction. So no, what it means is Faker. Ava, Ava, Ava Asimena. Every time, gradually, the Jewish people do an Ava, do an Aveda, then Hashem punishes them. Another Ava, another punishment, as opposed to by the Goyim, then Hashem makes it mount up and mount up until it becomes one big thing, and then boom, they're gone. For example, Mitzrayim, for example, you know, they did to the Jewish people for 200 odd years, and then that's it, you know. Bavel is an example, and many examples like that, yeah. Fine. Another explanation of Im Befidoi Lahen Shoya is Afilu Ein Yisrael Oisin Mitzvah Lefana Kein Ma'at. Even if the Jewish people do only a little bit of mitzvahs before Hashem, Kifid Shaltan Golan Shem Nakran Ba'ashva, again, like the pecking of chickens, where they just peck around in the garbage and eat a little bit here, a little bit there. Or another point is also, another point is also that means like, that it means Marsha says, for example, that you have that she pecks and to call to her chickens, to call to her little baby chicks, and she only eats a little bit. So the same way with the Jewish people, they do only a tiny amount of mitzvahs. Nevertheless, I add it up to a great number. Hashem doesn't allow any of the schus of any mitzvah to be lost, and Hashem makes it add up to a large amount. Shenema in befidah lahen shoya, as we say, when there's the pecking around lahen shoya, then for them there is a salvation. Shoya meloshen Yeshua. Dover Acher, another explanation. In the schus that the Jewish people cry out before me, then I save them. So that's another point. In other words, that the lahen shoya means that the word shoya there has a double meaning. And it means meloshin davening, like shava, like screaming out to Hashem, and also shoya meloshin, and also shoya meloshin meloshin Yeshua, meloshin saving them.
Is that what they call the 6 million thing? They call it also shoya.
I'm not sure what you mean.
No, 6 million, they call it...
Shin Vav Aleph, that's something else. Okay. Yeah. Okay. This in turn fits with what Rab Abba says. The Pasuk says, Hashem says about the Jewish people, that I would redeem them. The Hema Dibru alike Zavim, but they spoke lies about me. So what does that mean? Ani Amarti, Hashem is saying, I said, I will redeem the Jewish people with their money in this world, meaning, in other words, that the Jewish people will have a chance to give tzedakah, and that is through the mitzvah, that through the tzedakah that they gave, and they give even a little bit at a time, then I would save them in that schus. Kadesha Yizku, lo'olam abo, in order that they should have a schus lo'olam abo. The Hema Dibru, alaych zavim, instead the Jewish people spoke lies about me, and claimed that I'm just being that I'm just taking away their money, not for their good.
When is this referring to?
This is referring to, in other words, Pasha, you have people who sometimes complain about that. Why does Hashem put so many burdens of mitzvahs on us, and we have to spend money on mitzvahs, and we have to spend money on tzedakah, and a person figures, what's the point of it? And he doesn't realize that instead Hashem is doing it actually in order to, as a schus, in order to save us in the next world. One interesting point about it, though, actually is, so the Gemara is now explaining as far as money. So wait, one second. Behind the Omer Rapapi, Mishmei de Rava. Rapapi says in the name of Rava, a similar drasha that fits with this. My Dichtiv, another Pasuk also says, Va'ani Yisauti, I have brought the Yisurin, Chizakti Zeroisam, I strengthen their arms, meaning I strengthen my arms of power against them. The Eila Yechashvu Ra, but to me they think badly. What does that mean? Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Amarti Ayashim Yisurim Ba'olam Hazeh. I said I'm going to give them Yisurim in this world, Kedei Sheyichazku Zro Yosem La'olam Haba, so that their arms will be stronger in Olam Haba. The Eila Yechashvu Ra, but they think badly to me, and they think they just complain and think that Hashem is judging us unfairly and whatever. But really, it's all for our good, the same way as Hashem is having us give tzedakah in this world for our good later on. There is actually an interesting explanation on that from the Meshech Chochma that puts a good spin on it, because you always want to try to put something l'schus to the Jewish people. Fakir, what happens is that the tzaddikim, though, are concerned about the chilul Hashem in it. So they're saying, you know, fine, we understand that Hashem wants to bring Yisurim on a person in this world, so his Olam HaBa will be more complete. But the fact is, it makes a tremendous chilul Hashem, because everybody looks and sees, it looks like the tzaddikim are suffering, and it looks like Hashem is being unfair. You find Eeyah, by the way, made a very similar complaint against his friends. They're arguing there's reasons for Rosh of the Tovlo, there's reasons for Tzaddik Vidala, and Eeyah is saying to them over and over. But the fact is, that makes it look like Hashem is being unfair. So therefore, so they're thinking it's bad for Hashem's covered for it to be that way. It would be better if Hashem instead took care of accounts in Olam HaBa rather than in Olam HaZeh, even though, fine, we can understand why it's in a way better in Olam HaZeh, because the Yisurim of Olam HaZeh are much less than Olam HaBa, but still, they're arguing there's still a Chilul Hashem involved, and it doesn't have to be that way. The Gemara continues more on this topic of Hashem's relationship with the Jewish people versus the Goyim. The Gemara starts off with the following background. Rabbi Bohu one time was praising Rabbi Safra to the Minim and telling them, Odom Godelhu, he's a great person, he's a great Talmud Chacham. These Minim, where you have Minim as a general term for various kinds of Apikorsim, in the time and place we're talking about, Rabbi Bohu lived in Eretz Yisrael in the late 3rd, early 4th century, we're talking about the Pashtos, about the Christians. Some of them were Jews, some of them them were still Jews who were to some extent Shomer Torah or Mitzvahs, but they believed in Oyster Ish. Some of them were Goyim, but whatever, they were all...
After the Second Mishnah.
This is several hundred years after the Second Mishnah. Yeah. So, and as a result of that, because he praised Reb Safra that he's an Odom Godel, so they were going to have respect for him. Now, they had respect for Rav Abahu. We find in the Gemara that the government had tremendous respect for Rav Abahu when he would come and visit the royal palace, the maid servants or the noble women would come out and sing a song in his honor welcoming him. So Rav Abahu was considered very important by the Goyish government. And therefore, now when he says about Reb Safra that he's a great person, then that's a tremendous endorsement. So they gave. So for 13 years they gave Rav Safra a break from taxes or from tolls, and in token of that, one day they met up with Rav Safra. And they asked him the following. These minim are always big on psukim,
Ksiv,
the pasuk says, Rak eschem yadaitim, not really a contradiction between psukim, but explain to us this pasuk. Rak eschem yadaitim, we call mishpachai sa'adama. Hashem says, through the Novi Omos, only you I've known and appreciated more than among all the families of the world, among all the nations of the world. Alkein, efkred aleichem, eskalavane seichem, therefore, I will visit on you all your averis. So they ask him, how does that fit? Man de isle sisya, when a person who's angry, berachme masikle, does he take it out on his friend? If you Jewish people are Hashem's friends, rakas kam yadaiti, I know and I have an intimate relationship with you, then why dafka are you the ones getting punished? That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi's second explanation is the word is not sisya, which means anger, but rather susya, which means a horse. If a person has a wild horse that you can't deal with, is he going to put his friend on it, dafka, so his friend is going to get thrown off the horse and get injured or killed? So if I can, what's the logic that Hashem is saying that because I know you among all the nations, therefore I'm going to treat you this way? So that's according to Rashi. Marsha is a little bit bothered because Faker, the point is, the Jewish people, in the Moshul, it's his friend. His friend hasn't done anything wrong to him. So the question is, why would he be taking out his anger, or why would he be putting his friend on his wild horse? Here we're talking about Hashem is saying the Jewish people are doing Averis. So it's not really the same as the Moshul.
Right.
So rather, Marsha says that, they were wondering why it says, Alkein efkod aleichem. So in other words, they're saying that yes, if a person is angry at his friend, fine, his friend did something wrong, but on the contrary, he's going to be because they're friends, he's going to try to overlook it and not do anything wrong to him. So then, and here, Fakir, you're saying because Hashem is your friend, therefore he's going to punish you. That doesn't work that way.
But the meaning that they don't know, there's a sikkim saying that rather punish you in this world than punish you.
Obviously not, or at least you have to keep in mind also they're not always necessarily looking for. Sometimes they want to just. The Christians in particular are very big on the idea from then until now that Hashem, so to speak, replaced us. Chas v'shalom. They claim that Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people, but then they messed up. So now Hashem says, fine, I reject them in favor of anybody who follows Oyster Ish. So now this is all part of their kind of argument. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Ishtik v'loy amalahu v'loy midi. Rav Safra didn't answer them anything.
Wow.
Didn't answer them anything.
That's not good.
So now it's not good yet. Romalei sudra b'tzavrei. They put a scarf around his neck like they want to choke him, become a tzavrei, and they're harassing him. What do you mean? Here, 13 years, you've been passing yourself off as a Talmud Chacham, and now you don't even know to answer a simple question like that. They're threatening to choke him, yeah. Also, Rav Abahu Ashkechinu. Rav Abahu came and found them doing that. Omrulei, my mitzaritu. What are you doing to him? How could you do that to him? Omrulei, they said, V'lav amatlan de adam gadolhu. Didn't you tell us he's a great Talmud Chacham? V'layadol meimalan pirushu dehay psuke. He didn't even know how to tell us the answer. The answer. The pasuk. He's a faker. So Rav Abahu tells them, no, Chas v'Shalom, he's not a faker. Emer da'amri l'chu b'tanoi. I told you that Rav Safra is a great Talmud Chacham when it comes to Mishnayos, when it comes to Torah Shabbal Peh. B'kroi mi omer l'chu, did I ever tell you that he's an expert in Pesukim? Many times, a high-level Talmud Chacham, now you have. When a person first starts learning Torah, you have a mention in Kiddushin, a person has to learn Shlish v'Mikra, Shlish v'Mishnah, Shlish v'Talmud, that a person has to spend a certain amount of his time learning Mikra, but the Rambam points out, based on the Gemara there in Kiddushin, that once a person has reached the high levels of Talmud, then he reviews Psukim once in a while, so he doesn't forget them, but he doesn't focus on them anymore. So therefore, a Psafra can't necessarily be expected to be so expert in Psukim anymore.
Was that reason, the real reason why he didn't answer?
Well, so the real reason why he didn't answer might be because he figured whatever answer he's going to give them is not going to be acceptable. The Iyun Yaakov says one reason why they were so insulted by him is because they figured, you know why he's not answering? The pasuk says, "Altan silki valzoi." Don't answer a fool like his foolishness. So in effect, by not answering, he's like branding them as fools. Yeah. So the fact is, you can't expect him to be expert in Psukim. Omrulei, so they said to him, "Maishna atun diaditun." Well, what about you, Rabbi Bohu? You know Psukim as well. Amalhu, said Rabbi Bohu, tells them the difference is, "Anan deshchichin gabeichin," because we in Eretz Yisrael, and me particularly, we're always around you, so we know you're always going to bring up things from Psukim to try to prove your ideas. Raminan an option, so therefore we apply ourselves, umayninan, so we look into the Psukim so that we can understand what they really mean in order to explain that you don't know what you're talking about. Inhu, but them, Rabbi Safra is from Bavel, who travels a lot to Eretz Yisrael. He was one of the Nechusi, he was one of the Chachamim, who would travel back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel to report the halachas and the teachings that were taught in one place and bring them to the other. And he's from Bavel. There aren't very many minim over there. The Gemara mentions that point in a number of other places that minim were not common in Bavel. So therefore they don't look into the psukim and they're less familiar with it. Omrule, so the minim said, "Fine, leimalan ap, then fine. You tell us what the meaning of this pasuk is." So he answers them, "Em shalachem mashal amar davadrema." Fine, I'll give you an analogy what it's like. Adam shenoshim mishnei bnei adam. A person is owed money by two different people. Echad oyavoy ve'echad soynoi. One of them is his friend, the other is his enemy. Oyavoy nifrem imenu ma'at ma. The one he likes, his friend, he gets paid a little by a little. So he arranges payments. He arranges, "You'll pay me X amount per month or whatever," and that way it doesn't become too much, and then, yeah. So the same way, Hashem punishes the Jewish people gradually in Olam Hazeh in order that we be zeicha liyom hadin.
So,
as far as the enemy, nifrem imenu b'masachas, Hashem makes them pay all at once, so that's where they go bankrupt. So in that sense, then Hashem doesn't punish the goyim yet, and that way they get destroyed from Olam Haba. So therefore, so al ken efgoyd aleichem as kolam aneseichem, the word pekida suggests something that happens gradually, little by little, over time. So that's what Hashem is saying. Al ken, precisely because I love you, efgoyd, then therefore I will visit from time to time over your averus rather than doing it all at once like I do with the goyim.
Remember, you owe me still for that old loan.
So you still owe me from the chet ego, but yeah, I don't know, it was like this. It's little by little. So in fact, Mao Shaw says that's why so the goyim were arguing fakir. You know, here according to Mao Shaw's explanation that we're talking about, that Hashem does have justified reason to be angry at the Jewish people because they're averus. So and they're saying, but on the contrary, with a friend, you try to overlook it altogether. So Rabbi Bohu was telling them, you know what? By paying back gradually, it's almost like overlooking it. You're saying like, well, you're going to pay me a penny here, a penny there. Are you really going to notice that in your budget? So the same way, this is how Hashem does with the Jewish people. Okay. The Gemara says. And it says, "Omer Rab Abba Bar Kahana, my dichtiv." What does it mean when Abraham is arguing on behalf of the people of Sodom? "Cholila lachome asos kadaver azeh." It would be profane for you to do such a thing. "Lachome tzaddik im rasha," to kill the tzaddik together with the rasha. So what it means, "Omer Abraham lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam, cholin hu me'asos kadaver azeh." It would be a vochadik thing. It would be like a profane thing, not in keeping with the kedusha of Hashem, to do that. "Lachome tzaddik im rasha," to kill the tzaddik together with the rasha. Rashi mentions it in Pshat on the pasuk as well. Yeah. Rashi mentions on the pasuk that people are going to say this is always how you do it. You did it by the Dura Mabul and so forth, and therefore people are going to think that Hashem does the same kind of thing all the time. The problem with that is v'hoksiv v'chrati mimech tzadik v'rosha. So the Gemara asks, "V'loi, you're telling me that not? We do find that Hashem sometimes kills the tzadikim together with the rishayim. V'hoksiv, you have a pasuk in Yechezkel, v'chrati mimech tzadik v'rosha. Hashem says, I will cut off from among you the tzadik and the rosha, implying that they're both going to be punished together." So a point is actually that when fine you have nitna reshus for mashkes lahashkes, when Hashem gives permission to the to destroy malach like we have by makas b'choras, but sometimes he doesn't distinguish. So you could say, in other words, that look in Sdoim, Loit and his daughters are there yet, and it wasn't yet nitna reshus lahashkes, but the pasuk is v'shratim echzadik b'roshes is after Hashem gave reshus lahashkes. But now that we say chulin hulach, then the point is, in other words, that it seems no matter what, still it would be chulin, it would still be a desecrating thing for Hashem to do, for that it makes Hashem look bad. So what does it mean then? So how is it then that Hashem is not worried about the chulin hulach when it comes to the chratim echzadik b'roshah? So the answer is the tzaddik she'eni gomer. The answer is the tzaddik that Hashem is saying will be cut off together with the rosha is referring to a tzaddik she'eni gomer.
Wow, it's still a big tzaddik.
Still a big tzaddik. So when I ask Abba, tzaddik gomer loy, you're telling me a perfect tzaddik, then no. V'hoksim. Also in Yechezkel, when he describes about how the people of Yerushalayim are going to be destroyed at the time of the Churban, Umimikdoshi, Hashem sends, the Yechezkel describes how he sees a group of Malachim who are coming to destroy the city, Umimikdoshi Tachelu, and Hashem says, begin from my Mikdosh. So the Tani Rabbi Yosef, I'll take Mimikdoshi, Ela Mimikudoshai. Don't read Mimikdoshi from my best Mikdosh, but Mimikudoshai from my holy ones, Ela Bnei Adam, Ki Mos HaTorah, my Aleph Ad Tov. This refers to people who kept the entire Torah from Aleph to Tov.
Wow.
And nevertheless, Hashem is saying that you should begin with them and the punishment will begin with them. In fact, you have in the Pesukim over there, Hashem tells these Malachim to mark each person's forehead. The Tzadikim, foreheads are to be marked with a tuff of ink, represent, and the Gemara mentions in Shabbos a few possibilities of what the tuff stands for over here, and then the Rishoyim are to be marked with a tuff of blood. So now, one point is, the Gemara mentions over there, the tuff represents people who kept the whole Torah from Aleph till tuff. So now Hashem is saying, no, so to speak, I'm so to speak changing my mind and saying even they are going to be destroyed. So we see even the Tzadikim Gemurim. The answer is Hosam Nami. They're not Tzadikim Gemurim. They could have protested V'loy Michu, and they didn't protest. Then in effect, they're considered Tzadikim She'enu Gemurim. That Gemara in Shabbos says, in fact, exactly that. That Hashem says that Tzadikim are to be marked with ink, and then the Midas Hadin says, wait a minute, what's the difference? And what do you mean, what's the difference? These are Tzadikim, these are Rishoyim. Yeah, but the Tzadikim didn't protest. Hashem says, I know. They didn't protest because they realized it's not going to do any good. I realize not going to do any good. The Rishoyim are still going to listen. Midas Adin says, wait a minute. Hashem, you knew that. Did they know that? They still should have made the effort. And therefore Hashem, so to speak, says, fine, I changed my mind and go ahead and destroy them as well. So,
those are good for bad luck.
Yes, so that explains that. But Tzadikim Gemurim, where they were Moicha when they were supposed to, then they're different.
This
is the first verse in Mikdash. Neviim is always first, except for Chagas Kari Malach.
We know some Neviim did say they got killed.
So you have the exceptional tzaddikim like Yumiya and Yechezkel, who Yechezkel was already involved all the time. Whatever. The point is, in other words, that you had many people in Yerushalayim who were various levels of tzaddikim, and they were still destroyed and killed at the time of the Churban. Because we're saying Troy Beron and Limchus because they could have been Moicha, and they were.
But some of them, they were killed by the Yidden.
They were killed, they were killed by whatever happened. There were different things going on in Yerushalayim at that time. There was some people were killed by other Yidden. Some of them were killed by famine and plague and whatnot. And some of them were killed by Nebuchadnezzar and company. Tosfos here makes the point that not always are you supposed to be Moicha. Sometimes you have a concept in Halacha called Mutav Yushoygin Va'ayu Mezidin. Sometimes it's better to let them do B'shoygin rather than Mezid. That's Tosfos explains that's if you know they're not going to listen anyway. And there's a variety of different other points that are mentioned in Halacha. And in this connection, it includes a difference between Daraisas and Darabonans, and there's a number of different considerations that go into whether to be Moicha or not. Fine. The Gemara says, Rapapa Rami. Rapapa pointed out another seeming contradiction between Psukim as far as how Hashem runs the world. Siv Lefnei, Siv Kael Zoyim B'chol Yoyim. The Pasuk in Tehillim says Hashem is angry every day. Uchtiv, but another Pasuk says, Lefnei, also from Nochum, Lefnei Zamay Miyamay, who would stand before Hashem's anger? So if Hashem is angry every day, then the world wouldn't continue to exist. And yet we're saying Hashem is angry every day. So the answer is like Kasha can be Yochid can be Tzibur. One's talking about the Yochid. If Hashem is going to be angry at a Yochid, that's it, he's gone. If Hashem is angry at the Tzibur, then even though Hashem is angry every day, nevertheless the Tzibur still continues to exist. In Halacha, we even have a concept we're going to learn about in Horius, Bez Hashem, Ein Tzibur Mes. The Tzibur never dies. The same way as kind of like you have, let's say, for example, a corporation. You have, you know, a Microsoft corporation or whatever. You know, even Bill Gates will long since be dead, and all the people who founded the company are still dead, and the company still continues to exist. It's like an independent person of its own. So the same way the Jewish people are like that. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Kael Zoyim B'chol Yoyim, V'chama Zamoy. And we say Hashem is angry every day. How long does Hashem's anger last? Rega. It lasts a rega. The kama rega. How much is a rega? Echad mechamesh ribo yoshloisha salafim or shmoina meyas raboim or shmoina b'shah. 1:53.53848 part of an hour. So we're talking about like a fraction of a second. There are different gyusois. There's many different gyusois. The Gemara in Brachas brings this as well. And there's a different gyusa, 58,888. There's a gyusa that Rabbeinu Tam has, 13,824. So there's a lot of different gyusois what exactly the number is supposed to be. But whatever the case, it's only a fraction of a second. So zuhi rega, that is the definition of a rega. The einkol bri yichol chavan oiser rega chutz mi bilam arasha. No person was ever able to figure out the exact moment of that rega except for bilam arasha. Dichtivei, because it says on him, we know that he was able to figure that out. Dichtiv yedea das elyon. He knows the mind of the high one of Hashem. Now, Prosus points out, yedea suggests that he knows it by himself and without even nevuah. So therefore, so how does he know? That's the thing. What do you mean? What do you mean? Efshar das behemta, I have a yoda. Bilam couldn't even understand what his animal was going to be thinking. Das elyon me have a yoda. How could he possibly know on his own what Hashem is thinking? Now, something. Well, what do you mean? Where do we see he doesn't know the das? So where do we see that he doesn't know the das of his animal? So you have
his foot got scratched against him.
Well, so wait. Fine, but so but where do we see, to be exact, that he didn't know what his animal was going to say, that even in a conversation with the donkey, he couldn't figure out in advance what the donkey is going to say. Namely, my das behemtalei have a yada, the idner, we learned this in Sanhedrin as well, the idner, the chozulei, the avarocha v'chamre, the story moyav over there who are traveling together with him to say, see that he's riding on a donkey, omrulei, they ask him, my time, alorachav ta'asusya, why aren't you riding on a horse? A horse is a more choshev thing to do that. The truth is actually, Marsha says it's not so much that choshev people don't ride on donkeys. We find, for example, Avraham Avinu rode on a donkey. But the question still is, in other words, that so Marsha explains, in other words, that usually a donkey would be used for carrying packages and things, for carrying heavy burdens. So Marsha actually says like this: you're trying to get there as fast as possible. So why shouldn't you be taking a horse, which can run much faster than a donkey? So that's the question. So he tells them, "B'ritziva shadoyle, I left it in the meadow. I left it grazing." Marsha explains, again, a donkey is usually used for carrying heavy packages. I wasn't expecting today to take any heavy packages, so I didn't take, so I didn't bring it in.
Meanwhile, he spoke, but it's all the real reason.
But that's right. So now the donkey speaks up. Miyad, right away, am I not your donkey? Meaning, in other words, you're the one that you regularly use me, not just this one time you're riding on me. Omalah, so he answers, fine, I'm going to use it to carry packages, not to ride on. The donkey continues, that you rode on me. He says, okay, once in a while it happens, I ride on you. From when you began until now. So this is what we see. He doesn't know the das of his animal. He can't even think what his animal, that his animal is going to answer and reply back and undercut him.
This conversation happened only...
On the way over there.
No, but this happened only once he started speaking, then he continued.
Yeah, after he hit the animal three times, and it started speaking up. Why are you hitting me three times? And Bilam says, because you're playing around with me, and if only I had a sword, I'd kill you. And then she says, aren't I your donkey that you regularly ride on?
And the whole conversation.
Yeah. So Ma'od Chavad Evan said, not only that, the junkie said, not only that, I'm used for you by riding by day and for marital relations by night. So you're committing bestiality with me. And we know that, because she continues, And says, ha hasken is scanty, with a simple meaning of hasken is scanty, means to do something regularly. So on the face of it, she's saying, have I regularly ever done such a thing? But, we find by David, when he needed somebody to warm him up, to lie in his lap, they said they found him a sechenes, they found Avishag Ashunamis, so it's a warm, her sechenes means to warm him up. So therefore, so the same way it means over here that you warm yourself up with me in bed. So the point is, in other words, that we see, now, Hahaskin Iskanti, Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, is a rhetorical question, but the fact that it says it a double expression represents, in other words, that it's in fact so. So the point is that Bilam did not realize that his donkey is going to answer like this. So we see he doesn't even know to answer his donkey. How could you say that he knows on his own something that Hashem does? So what does it mean that he knows the mind of Hashem? He was able to figure out the exact moment, that exact fraction of a second when Hashem is angry.
This was the original question.
That's the answer. That how do we know that Bilam knew it? Is because we said that nobody knows it except for Bilam. How do we know that? Because it says Vyadeh Das Elyon. What was he able to figure out?
Only this point.
That the moment that Hashem is angry. Which the Gemara is going to explain soon. There was a physical sign that happens at that point, but actually Mefoshim say Bilam's chiddush was he figured out that the two things are connected. The physical sign that we see on a rooster, as the Gemara is going to say further down the Amud, that is the moment when Hashem is angry. He was able to put that two and two together like that and figure that out and teach that to others. So now this was his amsal, this was his discovery. Yeah. So v'hainu d'ka'omalahu navi, this explains what the Novi, what Micha says to the Jewish people. Ami, he said, and this is Naftara, Parshas Balak, very appropriately. Ami, my people, Zchorna Mayot Balak Malach Moyav, remember please what Balak Malach Moyav plotted, Ono Oise Bilam Ben Ba'ur, and what Bilam Ben Ba'ur answered him, Min Ashitim Ba'ada Gilgal, I brought you across from Shittim in Evra Yarden until Gilgal, on this side of the Yarden, Laman Das Sitkos Hashem, so that you should know the tzedakah, the kindness of Hashem. So what does that mean? What happened with Balak and Bilam over there? Amar lahen Rabbi Elazar, Amar lahen HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Ami, my people, Re'u kama tzedakah sisisi machem. Why is Hashem calling it Laman das tzedakah Hashem? Where particularly do we see the tzedakah of Hashem in that context? So it means Hashem says, "Kamat tzedakos asisi ru'u kamat tzedakos asisi imachem." Look how much tzedakah I did with you. Marsha points out tzedakah is the opposite of kas. So here, Hashem, Bilam knew the moment of Hashem's anger, and here Hashem is saying, "Fakir." During that time, I did not display anger. Shaloi ka'asti aleichem kolos nayomim. I did not get angry against you all of those days. Shein ka'asti aleichem. If I had gotten angry at you, le'nishtayim over to kechavim yisaneim shor Yisrael started to fall. There wouldn't have been left from among the goyim, the enemies of the Jewish people, which is a euphemism for the Jewish people themselves, there wouldn't have been a remnant because Bilam's klala would have been chal. So therefore, Hashem is saying, those days that Bilam was trying to curse you, I withheld and I did not do my anger on those days. So now, the whole point was, he's going to take advantage of that moment and use that to curse the Jewish people, and then it will be and then it will be effective. So therefore, Hashem is saying, Dafka, those days I did not display that anger, and therefore that's why Bilam couldn't accomplish what he set out to do. So therefore, that's the tzedakah. That also explains, Bilam says to Balak, Mo ekev le kabri kale, how can I curse that Hashem does not curse? And how can I be angry when Hashem is not angry? Meaning, Hashem is not being angry these days, so I have nothing I can do. So the Gemara says, how much is Hashem's anger? Rega. So we said, as we said before, it's a rega. But kama rega, how much is a rega? Now we said before, how much a rega is the fraction of a certain fraction of a second according to the different geusos. Here the Gemara is focusing on what could you say during that moment. What could a person possibly say? What could a person possibly say if we're saying that that Bilam wants to use that moment to curse the Jewish people, then what could he be able to say could he be able to say at that moment? The Gemara answers rega kememre. A rega is the amount of time that it takes to say the word rega. Now, so then the question is, what could Bilam say during that time? Tosfos says he could have said kalim. He could have said wipe them out. Kalim, two syllables, mean obviously the Jewish people that he's facing. So he could have said Kalim. Instead, Hashem, when we say Vayasach Hashem Avkachas, a Klol Lebracha, Hashem, when you say Hashem transformed the Klolos into Brachas, Vayasach literally means Hashem turned around, Hashem turned backwards. The word Kalim that he wanted to say instead became Melech, as in Surah Melech Boy. Anyway, that's Tosfos' first answer. Tosfos' second answer is that all he has to do is begin at that time, and then even he begins then, even he continues later on, after the moment of anger is over, then that's fine, it will still have an effect. So therefore, Hashem prevented that by not getting angry in the first place throughout all that time, and therefore he doesn't even have a chance to begin. Fine. How do we know that Hashem's anger lasts for a moment? Before we said that we have the positive of Kael Zoyim B'chol Yoyim, Hashem is angry every day. It doesn't say they have an amount of time. The Gemara had said, Kama Rega. But how do we know that it's Dafka Rega? Because the positive says, Ki Rega Ba'apoy, because a Rega, a moment, is Hashem's anger. Chayim B'Ritzonoi, life is with Hashem's Ritzon. So we see that Hashem's anger lasts for only a Rega. And then when Hashem, so to speak, is not angry, then he gives long life.
What's happening in the morning when we say it's a mizmor?
So when we say it's in. Medavid is saying that here I was in great danger. Aramim Hashem ki divisoni, you lifted me up. Velesimachta oivai li, I was in great danger. He individually, the Jewish people collectively. And then David says, you should know, ki rega ba'apoy, Hashem's anger lasts only a rega. Chayim b'ritzoni, Hashem gives life with his goodwill. So when Hashem shows goodwill towards me and towards the Jewish people, then we live long. So the Gemara says, Viboisem, another place, Mehocha, you have another pasuk, Chavi, Chimat Rega, Ad Yavar Zoam, the Novi says, hide for yourself, for just a Rega, until the anger passes, so we see Hashem's anger is only for a Rega. So the Gemara says, Emas Rosach, what time is that when Hashem is angry? Amar Abai, the Klas Shoy Kamaisa, it's during the first three, sometime during the first 3 hours of the day, Ki Chivra Karbalta, Chanagola, when the crest on the top of a rooster's head turns white. You have the little thing over there, the little crest that you have on top of it, but you know, the little crown-like thing that you see by Kaporas, so the moment when it turns white. So the Gemara says, Kol Shaita V'Shaita Michva Chivra, it turns white different times during the day. The answer is Kol Shaita Ispe Suraiki Sunki. At other times, it has red streaks in it. You still see the red veins in it. Ahi Shaita, that moment of Hashem's anger, Lespe Suraika Sunki, there's no red streaks in it. It's pure white. One thing is, white is the color of chesed, so it means even that moment, the world still has to exist with Hashem's chesed, so therefore there has to be some kind of evocation of chesed in the world, and that's shown in the whiteness of the rooster's comb.
This thing is red.
So it's usually red, that's what the Gemara is saying. But there are various times during the day. It becomes whitish, but only at that moment does it become pure white.
Oh.
Yeah. So the Gemara tells Rabbi Shua, and that's like we said, the Mephoshim say, that was Bilam's discovery, is that moment is in fact the moment that Hashem is angry. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, have a mitzayu le'ahum mina b'kroi. The Rabbi Shua ben Levi was being harassed by a certain min with psukim. So like we said, on Amar Aleph, the minim were big on finding psukim and using them to try to prove their ideas. So this guy was always harassing Rabbi Shua ben Levi and finding psukim and demanding answers. Yom Echad, one day, Rabbi Shua ben Levi had enough of it. Knock it time to go. He took a rooster. V'oikle ben kare da'arse. He put it between the legs of his bed. V'ayin ben, he's staring at it. Oh, he thinks to himself, Kimota Hishaita, when that moment comes that I see the comb turns white, Alatia, then that at that moment I will curse him. And now when it's during the time of Hashem's curse, of Hashem's anger, then it'll be effective. Kimota Hishaita, when the time came, Nimnim, then he fell asleep. So now he missed it. Omar, so when he woke up, he realized, Shemamina, I can see from that. It's not really the right thing to do that. Even the guy is being a nudnik and whatever, still it's not a reason to go and use Hashem's power to curse him. The pasuk says Hashem's rachamim on all his creatures. And another pasuk says, Gama noshla tzaddik loytoiv. It's not good for a tzaddik to be punishing people. So therefore, Hashem dafka made that I fell asleep in order for this, in order for me not to be able to curse him. Now, Tosfos points out that the Gemara further on In the Masechta, talks about the concept that there are certain kinds of people, and we're going to say there's meridin v'loy malin, there are people that we throw them down into a pit, and if they're in a pit, we don't save them. The Gemara mentions about certain, about Moisrim and various other groups like that. And then you have goyim that are loy malin v'loy meridin. You don't pull them out, you don't save their life if they're in danger, but you don't throw them down into the pit either. You basically leave them alone. So Tosfos discusses over here, what was this guy? Was he a yid or was he a goy? So here, if you say he was a goy, well then, loy meridin, loy malin. So fine, he doesn't have to save the guy's life if he's in danger, but he can't throw him down into the pit, which in this case would be cursing him, and then making sure that his curse will have an effect. So, and then if you say that it's a min, then it could be it was a yid. So fine, a yid, a min, is a koifer, an apikotus, or whatever, and it does say meridin, but still, he's saying it's not right. Don't try to force Hashem to do the person. Hashem doesn't want to punish the person yet. Fine, you can be the boss of a dumb. If you need to, you can punish the person, but to so to speak, force Hashem into doing that, Rabbi Yishrob and Levi realize it's not the right thing to do. Why dafka sometime during the first 3 hours of the day? The Gemara says, Tana, Mishmei did a mayor. We learn in a brisa, in the name of a mayor, B'shosh ha-malochem ha-michin kisrein b'rasheihen, at the moment when the kings, when the goyish kings put their crowns on their heads, or umshach min lachama, and they bow to the sun, and that's why it's dafka during the first 3 hours of the day, when the sun is shining, when the sun is starting to get its full strength. So sometime, and Tosfos points out, we find in connection with Krishna that kings would wake up during the third hour of the day. So sometime during that time, miyad toyas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the moment when Hashem is angry. Look at this, they're putting on their crowns, like they're showing, we're doing this in the full power of our kingship. And when we're doing it, we're ascribing our kingship not to Hashem, but rather to the sun. So then Hashem has good reason to be angry that they're misunderstanding completely where their power comes from. You know, in Yonah Diyoma now, we have, you know, just now, you have the whole attack on Iran, and maybe it should help that war is over very quickly, and all of us certainly have a Mapala. You have now, you know, the President of the United States went on air over there and publicly thanked the Edishtir for helping. You know, so there's a big thing. There's a big thing that the leader of the free world is publicly thanking the Edishtir, publicly recognizing that that's a big thing. Yeah.
And so Shmuel started doing the same thing.
So here we're saying that the Malfe and the Masarim are doing the opposite, yeah. Okay. Marsha has a long explanation over here and discusses the fact is, here it was talking about for Yochid, so why does, and we said before, there's a difference between a Tzibur and a Yochid over there, so every day there is this time of anger. Now, Bilam was trying to use it against the Tzibur, and therefore Hashem just didn't get angry at all. Here, Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi wanted to have that it should be on that particular Yochid on that day, and figured that will be the time of his end, and he figured it's so new day of Yasa, and therefore it should work, but Hashem shows him that it's not time for him yet, it's not the time of this guy's Ketz yet, and therefore don't try to rush things.
You see all those throughout generations, tzaddikim took care of these troublemakers.
Sometimes, yes, but you do sometimes find that tzaddikim deal with such troublemakers. One point is that, there is actually a point. So there is actually a point. The Kehillas Yaakov, actually, now that you mention it, makes a point about that. So first of all, it could have been there, it was derech tefillah. So here it's not derech tefillah, he wants to curse him. But another point is as well that here he's doing something that like is definitively going to happen. We know Hashem is angry at that moment, and therefore that a klala at that time is for sure going to work. As opposed to, in those cases, not like they know for sure it's going to work, fine. Tzadik goes about Kodesh Baruch Hu Mekayim, but it's not like they have a guarantee on it. There's also a difference between here. This guy is not so he's bothering Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi with his psukim and whatever, but he's not actually mitzayer tamid chacham. As opposed to in all those other cases, he's actually being mitzayer one on one. He's causing the tamid chacham a lot of trouble. So therefore, Kehillas Yaakov discusses all of this. It's not so simple. Okay, so the Gemara says. Speaking of the first 3 hours of the day and of Hashem's anger, Amar Rav Yosef, lo litzvi inish tzlusa d'musafi b'tlashrei kamaisa d'yoyva. A person should not daven musaf during the first 3 hours of the day.
We met you yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, so we touched on it yesterday.
No,
yeah. So specifically, b'yoyma kama d'reish shata. Okay. A person should not daven musaf b'tlas shoy kamaisa d'yoyma during the first 3 hours of the day on b'yoyma kama d'reish shata, specifically on Rosh Hashanah, b'yochid, only when he's davening b'yochid. Duma kiven de mifkid dinah, because it's the time when... There's going to be the moment when Hashem is angry over there. If he's davening Musaf over there, then he's going. Hashem is going to look more carefully into what he does. The and then his tefillah is going to be pushed off, and Hashem is not going to be willing to accept it because it was done at that moment over there. So why dafka? So based on this, Taka, actually, so it comes out from what Tosfos was saying, that the point is the moment has to be sometime during the third hour because then kings wake up. So it would mean, not necessarily doesn't mean any of the first 3 hours of the day. It could mean Dafka the third hour of the day. And in fact, the Magen Avraham brings that. On the other hand, there are posts who say that it applies the whole first 3 hours. But again, only on Rosh Hashanah and only B'yachid. The point, why Dafka Musaf? Why not any other tefillah? Rashi makes the point because Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, you have Malchus, Zechronus, and Shofaris, and therefore you have much more judgment of Hashem at that time. So I'll Yifrish Odom Atzim Min HaTzibur. So it's not right that a person should be davening alone and not be with the Tzibur at that time. So now, therefore, Hashem is more likely to look at him much more strictly. So the Gemara asks, Yichochi the Tzibur Nami? Well, the Tzibur as well. Why is there a problem? And the answer is, the tzibur has greater schus. We always find Hashem accepts the tefillah of the tzibur even when Hashem is not even when they don't deserve it. So the question is, yochid the tzafra nami loy? Then in that case, by that logic, a yochid shouldn't be davening shachris at that time as well. And the answer is kibin deikat tziburah dekamatzlu, because at that time is the time when the tzibur is davening shachris loy kamadchi. So therefore, Hashem will not push away the tefillah of the yochid even for whatever reason. He's davening alone. So therefore, at least he's davening at the time of the tzibur. Tosfos points out, the Gemara in Brachas tells us that to hear a person's tefillah has to be with the tzibur, but at least for not to be repelled and pushed away, fine, as long as he's doing it at the time of the tzibur is good enough. But when it comes to Musaf, there's no particular time. Different people daven Musaf at different times, so not necessarily is he going to be davening Musaf. If he davens sometime during those first 3 hours, he's not going to necessarily end up doing it at the same time that everybody else does. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean that during the first 3 hours? So what do you mean that during the first 3 hours of the time of Hashem's judgment? When we talk about on Gimel Amud Beis about Hashem's daily schedule, so to speak, we said Shalosh Rishonis Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Oseh BaTorah. The first 3 hours Hashem is occupied with learning Torah. That's not the time of Din. The time of Din was later in the day. The Gemara says Epoch. You have to flip around and say in that teaching, the first 3 hours Hashem judges the world, and the second 3 hours Hashem learns Torah. The Boisem Elohim Lo Tepoch. Another answer you can say, you don't have to flip it around. The Torah Dichtibra Emes. The Torah is called Emes. Dichtib Emes Knei Val Timker. As the Pasuk says, buy Emes and don't sell it. Meaning, in other words, even pay money to learn Torah if you have to, but don't sell it. If you had to pay money yourself to learn Torah, don't go and then charge other people money to teach them Torah. You have to teach them for free. So therefore, so when it comes to on the level of emes, when Hashem is, so to speak, learning Torah at this time during those first 3 hours, then it means automatically Hashem is going to judge according to the actual din. So now there's no room for the Fnim Mishras Adin. Din like Sidbe Emes, as opposed to by din, it does not say emes. Din can be lefnei mishuras hadin. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is lefnei mishuras hadin. Rashi points out that actually it does say mishpatei Hashem emes. That means, in other words, so that means the mishpatim that Hashem commanded us in the Torah, those are emes. Pikud Hashem mishra misam chilev and so forth. So therefore, but we don't find the word emes in connection with din. We find in Divrei Chazal we have the expression din emes lamitzay, but you don't really find that din is connected with emes, and therefore din can include lefnei mishuras hadin. So once Hashem is passed, so to speak, past the time of learning Torah and his daily schedule, then there's room for Midas HaRachmin. Maushah discusses more on this topic that would have when a person is davening shachris and he mentions that it's Yom Teruah and he's not yet blowing shofar. So in a way, it's kind of like Edus Sheker. What do you mean? You're saying it's a Yom Teruah and you're not blowing shofar yet. Okay, but still, you should do it as early as possible. And in fact, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us they used to do it as early as possible. They changed it only because Gzeiras HaMalchus. They changed it because there was a decree of the Goyim against doing it. Musaf then. So Musaf is. So Mosef is taka one niblor shofar. So therefore, so now it's beloy sif se mirma. Now it's a now, so now it's a, now it's being done in the right way, and there's no dishonesty in it. So now melfonecha mishpata yetze. The pasuk continues until him. My judgment should come out before you, meaning that we say malchus and zechronus and how with shofar. So therefore, so this is all. Enecha techzena meisharim. You will look at me fairly and you'll judge me. So therefore, so that's what we're saying. This is all by Mosef, but not by shachris. So, but again, when Hashem is judging from the point of view of Torah, then there can't be lefinim meshuras hadin. So there is actually, so first of all, there is that Gemara in Bavli and Yerushalmi explains that they used to have it by Shachris and then they moved it to Mosef. There was an interesting explanation from Rav Levi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, that Shachris is more of the time of Chesed. Therefore, the original thing should have been to blow shofar at that time to evoke Hashem's chesed. That is exactly why the goyim targeted it, to prevent us from doing that. They figured, faket, let it be by Mosef, which is more time of dinim, as the Gemara is saying over here. They didn't realize, though, with Tnimis and Yonim, Mosef also has to do with Hashem's rachamim, and therefore, they had to be moved to Mosef because of them. But it doesn't matter, we're still able to evoke Hashem's rachamim during Mosef as well. And therefore, that's when we blow shofar.
So they had the chesed in the beginning, Mosef is Rachman, and when he's in.
So that's what we're saying. In other words, that you have Hashem, so to speak, gets off the Kisei Adin. When he hears our shofar blowing, he gets off the Kisei Adin and goes to the Kisei Rachman. Our shofar blowing itself evokes that. The original idea should have been that during Shachris, because Shachris is the tefillah of Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu is Midas HaChesed, but he explains that Mosef, Apikabala, is associated with Yosef, and Yosef also has Midas HaChesed in him as well. But we find in the center of his brothers, Baboker Urva, Anashim Shulchu, that represents, the Zohar says, that represents a connection between Yosef and the mourning, and then Chesed, and all that, and therefore means Yosef's tefillah of Mosef also evokes Hashem Chesed, and therefore that's an appropriate time in the end to blow shofar. So fine. We'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, with more of this topic of Agadah on different things about how Hashem treats us and about Torah and so on and so forth.
Right.